Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas,
it's Cofield and Company.
Greg, what are you laughing at? The crank call I got yesterday?
This is funny.
Well, I was telling Greg during the break, it's Cofield, Greg Salerno, Cabana 7, Circa Las Vegas, right before Thursday Night Football, another good tilt, important tilt between the Giants and the Cowboys, longtime rivalries. Cowboys have dominated the series, but Cowboys haven't looked too good last couple times out. Giants at least showed some glimmers of hope. But I was just telling Greg yesterday, because of all the UNLV and Sluka and conference stuff, I had been asked to be on a couple of radio shows, including on the place that's based here, VSiN, and I was booked for 7:15. At 7:15, I look at my phone, and I've got a call that's 775 area code. It says Donald J. Trump. I'm like, all right, I don't think that's him.
Did it say potential scam on there?
It did not. No, there was a name.
Oh, okay.
So then I don't pick it up. And then I see a message that VSiN had called at, like, the same exact time. But I wasn't going to tell him, sorry, the president or the former president called.
Yeah. I was busy.
We had to chat it up. The amounts. This is another thing we cannot control. Like, there was a deal yesterday with the Fever and the Sun and their playoff game and the crowd and apparently some of the stuff being said by the – I don't even want to blame Caitlin Clark, but by Caitlin Clark supporters was pretty over the line. I did think it was kind of funny that someone put band nails or band long nails and then had popsicle sticks for her nails.
That's because she got poked in the eye at least. I mean, it wasn't, at least there's a reason for the.
Which I would, after looking at her, let's be real careful about what we're banning for women.
Yeah.
I looked at her. I was like, we could wear a shirt, ban fupas, because you got one, right? We don't want to get too choosy. Okay, let's not all judge each other. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, in this fan thing, I keep bringing this up, but like, they're just not used to this kind of scrutiny either, or having this kind of fan base. Because I mean, I was at Eagles fan games, and I'm not saying this is right at all. It's horrible.
It's a good comparison, though.
But you wouldn't even believe the things that their own team was saying about Donovan McNabb during the game. I mean, this has been going on since
the classic stories are booing Santa Claus.
Yes,
and then one
throwing batteries at people.
Many people don't know or even tell is Darren Dalton came out one game. And it was like Father Sunday. He has his baby in his arms. She's like three.
Yeah.
It's Father Sunday. All right. Dutch is not hitting well. Relax.
There was a running back. I think it might have been Clinton Portis. I don't quote me on it, but I think his family was in the crowd. And they had to like put him in a special room, like in protective custody, because the fans. I mean, I'm not saying it's good or right. It's just not a new thing. This has been going on forever.
So we're still trying to find out. I mean, I think we know, but the news is still coming out a little more in little pieces about Matthew Sluka and this agent and UNLV and coach or coaches and what was promised and what was asked for, all that stuff. I just want to play this cut for you with, again, Marcus Cromartie talking to SiriusXM about what he thinks happened and issues that arose.
I know he wants to be out there with his teammates, but at the end of the day, I think he's standing up for himself, which every player should do. I mean, at the end of the day, players should have the right to get what they was told that they would be got. So I think it's a miscommunication in terms of how the collective works at UNLV and what the coaches say.
Let's deal with the front end of that. I know he wants to be out there with his teammates.
Yeah.
Kind of not. I mean, if he was really offered $100,000 and didn't get it, the word is that he most recently went and asked for $300,000 on Monday. They were like, we can't do that. Well, I'll take 50 up front. Otherwise, I'm going to walk. I don't buy. Like, if you really wanted to be with your teammates, and you'd be there. And I really back the players. I really am a pro player guy, and I'm very cynical of college football coaches and NIL. Yeah. This one's – it's weird, and – from what I heard, after Sluka made it clear verbally to players and other people on campus that he was leaving, and then cleaned out his locker room. Yesterday, they have a big meeting, and you know when they said, "Hey, these are the two quarterbacks now: Haj Malik Williams and Cameron Friel."
Yeah,
it was uproarious. Like the guys in the room were like, "This is great." Someone had tweeted at, actually, you know what's funny? Well, they tagged him. Someone tweeted, "I bet Haj Malik throws three touchdowns and Ricky White has over 150 yards." And Ricky White, the star wide receiver for UNLV, simply tweeted back, "True story."
Yeah. Saw it. You know, I don't, besides being on the show, I have no affiliation with UNLV whatsoever. So, oh, actually, my dad teaches there, but whatever. I didn't even think about
little
that.
Little note.
I didn't even think about that.
You're not objective. Get out of here.
But the more I hear from this agent, the more I believe the UNLV side of the story, because he keeps changing his. First, he said that they had an agreement that they were going to get 100K. Then I heard him say something about how, well, all right, they're on a phone call, and they said, yeah, we can do that. Well, that's not a contract. I mean, you can't just be like, oh, yeah, maybe we can do something like that, or maybe that can happen, or yeah, sure, this could. That's not a guarantee. That's not a contract. And then he changes it again in this statement. So it's like the more they change their story, the more I believe UNLV, because it just looks dumb. People don't act, normal people don't act like that.
Okay. Then there's a side that's going on the internets and social media and the fixation on Matthew Sluka throwing at a 43.8%. completion clip.
Yeah, I saw that.
Stop with that. Stop. He was real close to connecting on a bunch of deep shots against Kansas. I knew there'd be some chemistry issues early on, which is why I thought, and I said it on podcasts, I said it on the air, I thought Haj Malik Williams was going to start the Houston game because he was in the program since spring. Sluka needed some time to get the rhythm. That was going to get better. So the smear job, like, he sucks, he can't throw. He can throw. He's got to get a little more accurate, and he's got to put some arc on the ball in the deep shots. But I think it's there. He's a good player, and his running ability is off the freaking chart. So this is a loss. I want you to listen to a guy who covers college football, Bud Elliott, in terms of, like, he takes you through the thought process here. If money was needed here and what's potentially in front of them, should they have paid the 100K or whatever? Maybe, I don't know if it's 300K, whatever it is. Was Sluka worth the investment for the whole program?
If UNLV really thought this kid was good, like really good, and he's not, he's a 43.8% passer. Most of his completions this year are to guys who UNLV has schemed wide open. They'd find a way to pay him. It's 85K. Do you realize how much a playoff appearance is worth to UNLV, the school? Do you realize how much it is worth to, like, offensive coordinator Brennan Marion? Do you realize that their head coach, Barry Odom, who's probably going to try to get a P5 job again, how much that would be worth? Like, you find a way to either have your collective or somebody pays the collective and the collective pays the kid. If this kid is really the reason you're winning and he's not, you find a way to get him paid.
Okay. I think he is part of why they're winning. So I think he does have some value. He's not a bad quarterback. That's false. But his point about what's in front of them and the amount of the investment, he's right. You would get them paid. But here's the thing. It's not about being short the money. It's about giving him the money and the way he asked for the money. That's my view of it. That's what it comes down to, because when someone comes in at this point in the season and is asking for a boatload and 50K up front on a Monday on a game week, you have a decision to make. Like, how desperate am I to win college football games? How much damage control will I have to do with the rest of the team? Those are decisions that are really important, and this will set a precedent. Now, anyone who gets off to a hot start who thinks they're integral to the program can come to me and try to shake me down.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, you're going to have an office full of kids now that want to get paid because, and I mean, I know 43, it hasn't been that long, and he has a lot of athletic ability. But 43% is pretty bad. I mean, that's not good.
It's bad in college football these days. Yeah.
And I mean, so to go in there and demand even more money than you thought you were agreeing to the first time, Now you're going to have 50 kids in there wanting to get paid because he's probably not the second best player on the team. He's probably not the third best player on the team. So then you're going to have all these guys in there, you know, DeJesus is going to want 100 grand now or whatever. I mean, how do you know it's going to happen?
It kind of makes you, if you stand on certain values as a college football program and coach, it sort of makes you look like a jackass and unravels a lot of what you say. And
right.
Odom has said over these first, you know, whatever, year plus, that generally in recruiting, if a kid comes to him and the first thing he's talking about is NIL, he's basically like, this probably ain't the place for you. And it's not about, hey, we like, I'm speaking as Odom, right? Like, that's not the way we do things, or like, we, it's just not, believe me, my we is Rutgers are playing tomorrow.
Sure.
There's just so many damaging things you could do. And one of them is, you have guys who stuck around, who showed real loyalty to the program, who I think you'd be bumping way above in terms of the money you're giving him. And first and foremost is Ricky White.
Yeah.
It was reported by Mike Romano that Ricky White had some really big offers out there. Now, did UNLV give him $3,000 to stay around? No. They rewarded him. But I think you'd be boosting him, Sluka, above Ricky White. And then what does that do to a team? And to, like, Ricky White's been very mature about this.
Yeah.
He was a 1,483-yard receiver last year. He's got 10 catches this year.
Right.
Because they've had to go more run offense versus pass offense. Sluka's good at running. He was a little reluctant to throw. So there's like a lot of stuff in there. And it's one of the dumbest jokes I've seen over and over and over again. One person said, if UNLV doesn't have $100,000 for the starting quarterback of a top 25 team, and then tied it to the exit fee, that's not the point. By the way, we also have it on good authority that there are some big wigs in town, as there always have been. When UNLV athletics and teams are doing well, the kitty's open, man. The money's there. There were calls made.
Right.
Hey, do you need this money? And I'm sure they were told, we don't know. We don't need it. This is a decision to not dole it out.
Well, it's like you don't negotiate with kidnappers, because then you're going to have your kid kidnapped all the time. You know? Like, I can't, you know, if somebody, if you show everybody else you could be extorted, then your whole entire, you know, top is blown there. You can't, there's nothing you can do about it. So obviously they couldn't do it. Sorry.
I mean, you could. And then, well, the other part of it is, what do you have at 2-3? Do you have true confidence at 2-3? And I'll say it again. I thought Haj Malik Williams was going to be the starter. So,
yeah.
I like, Sluk is a loss because now you are thinner at the position. But I think Haj Malik will go in there. Might fall flat on his face in game one. I don't know. But I think over the course of the season, he'll be better than Sluka in some ways. Maybe, you know, a little short in other ways. But they should be fine. And really, one, they're really good at coaching up quarterbacks, as I saw last year by Jade Maiava. And two, it's a run-based offense. So as long as they're taking deep shots, they hook up on a few, all the underneath stuff could be open that they really want to use.
Well, that could also be why they were cheering in that meeting. Maybe there's guys in there who are like, hey, man, my productions went down, and now my production's going to go up with a different guy in there.
There are. heard that as well. There are some who are like, okay, well,
yeah,
this is different. Like, I'm really not getting the passes I thought, my bread and butter in certain positions. So
right,
this might help the whole situation. It's lousy. It sucks. I'm not going to kill Sluka for doing it. I think it was bad advice from an agent or agents. I don't think that's clear. I'm not even sure that this Cromartie guy is the only person in this mix about the $300,000 valuation and all that stuff. But, you know, I was going to say, if they come up with some rules, they close some loopholes, I don't know what they could do about it.
You know,
a kid looking at it and going, hey, I got a 4-game cap. If I don't play past the 4 games, I can keep my eligibility. I mean, to a much lesser degree, there was a kid who's very high recruit who's bounced around a couple of schools, who was a backup defensive lineman, probably not getting the time he wanted, Bear Alexander, who was at USC, and he did a similar thing where he's like, I'm retaining my eligibility and I'm going to transfer.
This could be one of those things, though, that's like it gets worse before it gets better. I mean, I think a free market will eventually work itself out. And if this, you know, if you have to sign a contract with these guys before the season just to make sure that you know what's going on. And because right now, like I said, it's like a lot of backroom deals and just, you know, hustling, really. So if you have contracts, at least you'll know what's going on.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, coaches are going to be desperate, and they've got backers who will give them unlimited money, so they're not going to control themselves. But
yeah,
Ohio State's a really great experiment this year, because they're rumored to have spent, you know, up $10 million plus, maybe $20 million plus on the transfer portal.
Yeah,
because they feel like they're in a bit of a desperate situation, because Michigan has surpassed them. That rivalry is driving them nuts, that they're on the wrong side of it. But I will tell you, just like this Bear Alexander kid, like, you go somewhere like USC, once you get there, I think most coaches are like, all right, I mean, you got a deal, but, like, you got to play. I'm not – if you suck and you're not as good as a starter, like, there's no coach who's going to go, oh, I'm going to play him because he got a lot of NIL money. Like, no, if he's not showing up,
right,
better players are going to be in front of him, and that's – the field is the ultimate meritocracy. Like, you can be a higher-level recruit. You can be getting paid more, but if the coach especially position coaches, look at it and they're like, I ain't getting it done right now. I can't recommend you use them on the ones.
Well, especially if you have aspirations for the NFL, if you're one of those guys, I mean, in the long run, this stuff's going to hurt you more than, you know, it'll cost you more money in the long run than it would have in college.
I would think. The NFL seems to be, and rightly so, very concerned about kind of what your rep has been, what your work ethic is, loyalty. Because there's been some players dinged severely in the past in the draft, like dropping way in the draft for what you thought was like nothing.
Yeah.
And they're like, nope, that stuff matters. The way you acted then worries us, and we don't want to invest a high draft pick in someone who could be flip-floppy.
Yeah, no, I mean,
not
you have
reliable,
to be that way.
Disloyal.
Yeah, you got to be that way with a business. I mean, especially now that these guaranteed contracts, I mean, some of these guys are getting $200 million guaranteed. Look at Watson with the Browns. I mean, you think they want that back? Yeah.
I got some swing teams around the NFL. I mean, a lot of teams is kind of like throw them up in the air. You know, are they really good? Are they headed to 10 wins? Could they win 6?
Yeah.
Are you ready to buy the Jets, taking care of the Broncos easily this week? Because if you're a good team, you do that at home.
Not really. I mean, not easily. I think they'll probably win the game. I think Rodgers is actually, you know, I don't think people talk enough about how they don't play in preseason anymore, because it seems like after the first 2 weeks, all of a sudden the guys you thought were good are good again, and now it looks like they're, you know, like Rodgers last week looked like a completely different player than he did the first 2 weeks. So I think going forward he's going to be fine. But, yeah, I mean, it's not going to be easy. I don't think it's going to be easy.
Hardest one to predict because of the personnel issues.
Yeah.
So we've seen the stories around the tub of goo tight end in Kansas City. Which I'm kidding. But we did talk about this. And by the way, Thursday Night Football kicking off here.
Yeah.
We did talk about distractions, conditioning for Kelsey.
Yeah.
I thought Mahomes came to camp rocking a mean set of kind of pouty moves.
Yeah.
So he might be playing himself into shape a little bit. But there are a lot of people out there saying, you know what, another call for the Grand Sound Machine. Get on the Commodore 64 here. Can we get Francesa from the other day? I think we need McShay one too. Let's set those up. A lot of times things happen on the fly here. We're live at Circa Stadium Swim. By the way, the game is over on Raider Nation Radio 920. This Thursday Night Football game. We don't know if Justin Herbert's going to play for the Chargers. Now the numbers dropped the last couple of days. Now it's sitting at an even 7. Herbert said, "I'm trending towards playing." I don't know why he'd need to lie. Like, I don't think the Chiefs, they're going to walk on the field and be like, oh, my God, we are completely full. We're not prepared for Taylor Heineke.
Right.
There's a couple questions here. Will the Chiefs blow them out? Because the Chargers are also in big trouble at both tackle positions.
Sure. I don't – division games to me, I never predict blowouts because I just always feel like even if you suck, they know you. They have – you know, they're not afraid of you. It doesn't matter. So if there's a huge gap between teams, which I think there's a pretty big gap between KC and the Chargers, and Kansas City hasn't really looked that – I mean, even since the middle of last year, their offense has not looked great.
Now they're down Hollywood Brown for the season.
Yeah.
And Isaiah Pacheco out for the year.
And, you know, and like you just said, Kelsey hasn't been playing like he normally does. I don't know what it is, distractions, Taylor Swift, whatever you want to blame it on. So, I mean, I don't think they're going to blow anybody out right now, much less the Chargers. I do think they'll win, but they haven't looked great.
Let's get Mike Francesa on distractions and conditioning, and don't worry about how he sounds.
As an organization and as a coach, you would have to question how dedicated Kelsey is to the sport right now. He has a lot going on in his life. His life has taken a radical change. You see him in commercials. You see him in photo ops. You see him now very conscious of how he's dressed and what he's wearing and what the deal is and where the paparazzi are and everything else. And it has changed his life. And you wonder, where does football and where does football preparation enter into that?
Hey, he's one of your guys. You're from what? Are you Brooklyn or Queens?
My family's from Brooklyn. Okay. Yeah. I was born in the Queens Hospital.
I think he's Queens. Legendary Mike Francesa. Started, paved the way for all of us. I really do mean that. I like what he did over the years. He's still doing it.
He sounded like, remember the old lady from Titanic that tells a story in the beginning? Yeah. She's like, it's been 81 years or whatever.
He's done a lot of radio. Your voice,
I know.
You're going to have that have you scream all the time.
I know.
Give me Todd McShay, draft analyst, as he points even further to the obvious about distractions and maybe Taylor Swift.
I'm not blaming it on Taylor Swift. I'm not blaming anything. All I'm saying is when you win two Super Bowls, you've got all, the whole tour that happens after the Super Bowl. There's no one else doing more commercials, I don't think, in the league. I mean, he and Mahomes are up there, but I think Kelsey's doing more commercials and things. He's been at more events, doing more things socially. It's impossible to carry that schedule and still put in the same amount of time.
There's also a competitive fire can go for a long time, and some guys want to play until their 40s. He's won a bunch of Super Bowls. He's not young. And if he sticks this out, one, he's super rich, and he's with someone who is uber rich. You just wonder. It's kind of like the heavy or the boxer in general.
Yeah.
You know, they'll always say once a boxer's kind of arrived, made a lot of money, it's hard to get up and do the road work, you know, when you're changing out of your silk pajamas. Do we think he's lost some of the drive?
I think he's just, I mean, the guy, the usage rate of that guy for a tight end is insane. I mean, he has, you know, catches, yards, whatever, targets. So I think he's just getting older. I mean, he's not a young guy anymore. His prime was probably a few years ago, and he's just getting a little bit older now. We talked about this earlier with the preseason. I think as the season goes on, we'll see guys look more like themselves a little bit. But yeah, maybe he's just not that guy anymore.
Remember, tomorrow we are housed over at Treasure Island at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Two shows in the next 2 days, Fridays 3 to 6 with Cofield and Company, and then the award-winning Throw the Flag, 9A to 11A with Danny and Jared as they get you ready for a college football game day, and they'll preview the day on Sunday in pro football. And, of course, they do have breakfast available. Try the very healthy granola parfait or the chorizo con papas breakfast bowl. It's ESPN Las Vegas Thursdays. Check that. Fridays and Saturdays at Treasure Island at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar.
All of the lights. Former UNLV Rebel and host of the Uncommon Terry podcast, Curtis Terry joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Curtis Terry, of course, who calls the games for the Rebels and all those key matchups in conference in the Pac what conference? Mountain West? It's official? We know it is for the next couple of years, but beyond that, it looks like it's official, I think. We jumped the gun a little earlier. Well, because Utah State screwed everyone and dropped out. So we got a lot of that to get to, Curtis. First of all, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. It's been a week since we last talked last week. A lot's changed, hasn't it?
Just a little bit. Well, let's talk NBA first, because I know we had a guest on earlier, Xavier Pope, who's a Chicago guy, and Derrick Rose is near and dear to him. What are your thoughts on Derrick Rose retiring? Probably a very under-the-radar move right now in the news cycle, but I think people around the NBA know how good he was at his best.
Okay. I think in terms of what Derrick Rose did in the NBA, coming in and winning MVP in his third season, averaging 25 points and kind of revitalizing the Bulls, and then what he did just for the city of Chicago. He obviously is an impact player. All of his teammates have said nothing but great things about him and the impact that he's brought to the game of basketball. And you saw on social media just the impact that he's made and his former teammates and peers, just sharing the message of what he brought to them as a teammate, as a person, but to the game, but also to every city that he played, and he made an impact on and off the court.
It's funny because whenever I talk Basketball Hall of Fame with people, they don't. It seems like a lot of times they don't really get how different it is than NFL. You know, like, I mean, a lot of guys get into the NBA Hall of Fame because it's just a lot more. I don't know. There's a lot less players. Let's put it that way. Derrick Rose is a lock, right? I mean, and how many MVPs in the NBA have not gotten into the Hall of Fame? Especially the youngest one ever.
Oh, it's luck. I don't even think it's close. I think what he did coming in the career that he had at Memphis, coming to the NBA, and like you said, he won MVP, the youngest ever at 22 years old. He did it in his third season, averaging 25 points a game and single-handedly leading that Bulls team to the Eastern Conference Finals. Unfortunately for D. Rose, it was injuries. Tore that ACL in the playoffs in 2012, and then from there, it just seemed like he could never get back on track and just had injuries, nagging injuries here and there. But again, he was the consummate pro, consummate teammate, and it's what if he doesn't get hurt? And obviously, we see now what Ja Morant's doing with his athleticism in the NBA. I mean, D. Rose was that times 10 in terms of athleticism and skill set. It's just unfortunate that he got hurt, but I think we're also blessed to be able to see that kind of caliber athlete and competitor on the court, which Derrick Rose was.
CT is with us, former running Rebel Curtis Terry. All right, first item on the docket for UNLV News is the portal. An unprecedented move of Matthew Sluka, who's like, you know what, retaining my red shirt, I'm done, I'm moving on.
Yeah, I thought we were done with the portal, at least since football season started, at least to some degree. it's interesting, man. I mean, I understand being able to have that option, right, and that choice to make that decision for yourself. Obviously, I think there's a lot of moving parts and things that maybe were said or were not said and not followed through with. Which makes it just a weird situation and timing, especially with the Rebels being 3-0, basically starting their game prep here for Fresno State, and then he just kind of bows out. It's tough. I think there's a lot more to be said in kind of how this is going to unfold. I think that the most unfortunate part is not just for Matthew himself, but I think for his teammates. Just being one of those guys and just knowing that your quarterback was there and that your quarterback's not there. I'm curious as to what that vibe is around that locker room. With those guys on that team. But I think the good thing to see is on social media and all the comments that I've seen is that everybody seems to be rallying around the next man up and just the rest of the guys that want to be there and that are there. Because I think if they do great things like they've started so far in this season, I think the sky's the limit for them. And I think if the fruits of their labor will come. So kind of if you build it, they will come. If you win, you will reap those rewards. It's just he's definitely not going to be able to see that thing through.
Curtis, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I guess in this situation, who do you believe more? Because the more I hear from the agent, it seems like it just changes. The story changes. He was promised this. He wasn't promised it. Then he comes in and asks for extra money, and then he waits till 3 weeks in, says he wants 50 up front, but he never got the 50 before. It's like, it doesn't make sense to me. I was wondering where you're leaning on this.
Just based on my experience having been a professional, played overseas and signed contracts, and not have them paid. I signed contracts and had them physically in hand and they weren't paid. Wow. And so I think in this new day and age in college athletics, you're a fool to believe somebody's word, and then not have it in paper, especially now with how much money that they're throwing around. I think it's a tough situation for that kid to be put in. Something tells me that I don't think that the way that Coach Odom operates, I don't think that he would allow guys to come in there and have actual promises and things that they were going to uphold to them. I don't think he'd be a guy that would backtrack on that. So I think there's definitely a cross or a miscommunication somewhere along that line. It's just unfortunate that it had to happen to him. UNLV got a lot of national media attention the last couple of days, which is good for the school, good for the brand, but just not in this factor, not in this fashion. But I think it sucks that just because of the starts of the season that they had, and now they've got to make an adjustment here. But I think that Coach Odom and his guys are going to be prepared to handle business come Saturday. And as long as they win, I think this will get swept under the rug. And those guys on that team will be ready to keep moving forward.
You know, something I brought up earlier, because and I want to run up by you, his agent said that, hey, maybe there's some issues here with the collective and not paying players. And I brought up the fact that, well, you know, the basketball program has been a lot more aggressive and well-funded with NIL. And even people who have left, like the Twins last year, I didn't hear any complaints about not getting paid. And I don't know. I mean, this could be the way. It could be a time it did happen, but I feel like basketball has been pretty consistent. I haven't heard any complaints over the years, and NIL has been part of the basketball program for a lot longer than football.
Yeah. I mean, that's just straight up. Yeah, man, it's weird because I know that there would be a huge uproar if there was somebody specifically, kind of the quarterback of your team on that basketball court, if he was not receiving his money. All hell would break loose across the whole Las Vegas Valley and everybody would know about it. But I don't think that's the case. And I think that there's a way that business is being done. And obviously, and I have a hard time believing that the kid was in line to be getting something and somebody backed out. I just don't think that that's the kind of town Vegas is. I think if they make a deal, most people back in the day, the Rat Pack handshake, you know what I mean, is your word is your bond. And for some reason, I feel like there was something that just wasn't communicated and wasn't actually agreed upon. But I know me, if I'm going to be getting $100,000, you're sure as hell going to give me a portion of that up front to some degree. I mean, I don't know how much or how it's going to play out, but if you step on campus here in the spring or in the summer, and then you're going into fall camp, you definitely got to be in line to be making sure that you're taken care of. But I think once you get 3 weeks into the season, it looks a little funny now to be asking for something if you weren't already promised that. And it kind of seems like maybe buyer's remorse or cold feet, but I don't know what's going to happen. But I think it seems to be that they're moving on, but it seems to be there was something lost in translation.
Curtis Terry, one of the voices of Run It Rebel Basketball on radio, and a former player, former pro player. Okay, now the next step in the chaos this week was conference realignment, trying to steal schools from each other, Mountain West and Pac-12, and UNLV decides last night, you know what, we're going to take this big lump sum, and we're going to stick with who we've been with, Mountain West moving forward, I guess until it changes, you know, in a couple of years, but it's a six-year commitment. They're in. What do you think?
I think it's great. I think the way it worked out, obviously, I think was it Monday when the news came down that they were going to stay, and then obviously Utah State backed out. Utah State makes that jump. I think UNLV was right to kind of step on the brakes a little bit and kind of reevaluate what was going to take place and need to happen. And I think in this fashion that they did the right thing. I mean, being able to get a guarantee of what, a lump sum of $10 to $14 million, and then $1.5 to $2 million per year on top of what your revenue share is already going to be. I mean, foreshadowing or hindsight's kind of 2020, but Matthew Sluka, if you knew that UNLV was going to be getting a cash fall of $20 million, yeah, maybe you stick it out and that money's going to find its way to the collective. But no, I think the administrative powers at hand, President Whitfield and Athletic Director Eric Harper, I think they did the right thing for the school. And I think the best thing about that with the MOU coming out was that they made the statement that UNLV still has the opportunity to leave if a Power Four autonomous conference opportunity comes up. And so they can still make that big collection, all these funds now, which are going to hopefully put that athletic department in the green for years to come, but then be able to make that move to another conference if it comes up, as long as they continue to strive and move forward as a research university and what they're doing athletically.
You're up, Salerno.
Oh, I thought you pointed at yourself.
I said, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were joking around. Anyways, I wanted to ask, go back to the NBA for a second. Bronny and LeBron, supposedly the Lakers have a plan where they're going to have them both on the court in the first game. I actually like the story. I think I know your answer already, though. Is this kind of like, I don't know, a little bit of a put on? I mean, does it look like they're kind of forcing this?
And I think we had this conversation in Fort Collins during the basketball season last year, yeah. Me and Steve and some of the other guys. The charade or the mockery that they're making of LeBron or Bronny being drafted and it comes to fruition. He had an okay, decent summer league. I don't see any way that they're gonna be able to spend any significant unless LeBron sits out for the first couple games and then goes to the South Bay Lakers and makes an appearance as a rehab start in the G League. I don't know how it's going to work out. But I think, again, I think Rob Pelinka, I think J.J. Redick, I think they're doing the right thing in terms of they're riding these headlines. They're trying to generate some excitement to the Lakers and what they need to do after the last couple seasons that they've had. But they've got to find something that's going to get people back excited because obviously they're Lakers, but you've got to do more on what they're showing on the court. So this is going to sell some tickets early and make them the hot ticket, the hot game to catch on TV. But they'll be on the court for some period, but I can guarantee it won't be crunch time in the NBA game at the beginning of the season.
Let's close on this because I want to talk Mountain West Conference decision by UNLV and the splintering of the conference when it comes to men's basketball. Football, I think we'll be fine. You develop new rivalries. Obviously, losing Boise from the conference is a big one. Basketball sucks, right? Because they do have good rivalries with San Diego State. It's a one-sided rivalry, but it's always been a good series. Boise has now become sort of a really disliked program. Leon Rice with the fist pump. He still doesn't understand really why everyone got mad when he did that in the face of Dave Rice. I think Colorado State is an interesting rivalry. It's actually pretty balanced, and Nico Medved is a damn good coach and a really good recruiter. Fresno, I don't know what's going to happen with Vance Wahlberg. They got to get more than 1,000 people in there. I think they're going to get better. But my point is, the basketball side of it, it does suck. You're losing some really good rivalries.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think that's going to be the biggest blow. Like you mentioned, football, you're going to be able to, as they're rebuilding that program under Coach Barry Odom, they're going to be able to find some new rivalries, generate some new interest in terms of teams that they're going to be able to play and schedule non-conference or however kind of things come out with scheduling agreements with other conferences. But I think for the basketball sake, you do lose some of those blue bloods, I guess, in the conference. Some of those teams are typically at the top of the standings preseason, and they're going to have to figure out a way to make sure that they're still able to maybe maintain those rivalries. Maybe they're going to do home and homes. They're going to have to be creative. But I think the one thing that Coach Kevin Kruger and his staff do have going for them is that they've always been able to schedule. They can schedule national games. They can schedule teams from power conferences. And so I don't think it's going to be that much of an issue. I think it'll give them more flexibility to be able to go out and handpick who they choose. But I think they're going to be able to blow up that non-conference and just have it even more challenging, get their guys ready more so. I guess the one thing to kind of look forward to for them is obviously moving forward for the next two seasons in the Mountain West, but then also against next year, as you move into that next step of what it looks like for basketball, you get to go back to Maui. So I'm excited about that already. We're looking way, way forward.
Yeah.
But we know we're owed a trip from a couple years back.
Curtis Terry with us. I didn't mention Utah State. That is a good rivalry. And I think this new coach, Jared Calhoun, is actually going to do a really good job. He already hit the portal, did a real number in the portal. So they're going to lose that one. I do have to say one of my other concerns, of course, is broadcaster bites and being on the road. I'm not heartbroken about Logan going bye-bye.
No, not at all. I mean, San Diego State, though, going to San Diego, that's going to suck. That's not going to be fun. And Fort Collins has always been under hidden gem.
I agree. I'm cutting you off, but, yeah, there's some good trips there. And if you were just looking at basketball, is there a program in the Mountain Time Zone or West, someone bumping up? I mean, clearly they have to have football, so that's you're not going to – my SO was like, hey, how about CSUN? I'm like, yeah, they don't have football. And you don't want CSUN for basketball either, but – some of the schools they may look at, believe it or not, UTEP might be coveted by both the Pac-12 and the Mountain West Conference. They have a decent history. They've got a solid arena. They've got good following. I think New Mexico State has the same thing. Am I naming some schools that, from a basketball standpoint, would be a good match?
I think one that makes a lot of sense to me is Eastern Washington University. Obviously, they've got a really good football program. The Red Inferno up there with their red field. But then the basketball side, they've done a lot of good things in the Big Sky as well. I think they would fit in not just with men's basketball, women's basketball, but all their other sports on campus. I think that would be a good get for the Mountain West Conference if they could be able to pull that one off right away. Just a lot of credibility. But some of those other ones, I think, are a little bit lopsided in terms of football to basketball or other sports. I think Eastern, that's the one that stands out. The Eagles of EWU, I think they come as a very balanced athletic department and are typically – underrated and fly under the radar in terms of what they do athletically across all sports on campus.
Curtis, have a good weekend, man. We appreciate it. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
We did not hit UNLV basketball practice, which we should have. That started on Monday. Interesting body transformation. Some guys came back bigger, stronger. I thought a little taller. They challenged me on that, but I'm going to bring a measuring tape out there.
You know, there is a surgery for that, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a guy who used to work with us, a little short guy named Kevin, and I brought him on comp one time, and he said there was a surgery for like 100 grand where you can gain like 6 inches.
Height?
Yeah, height.
Okay.
So,
let me do it now. One of the things I hate about conference realignment are the fan bases chirping at each other and kind of sizing themselves up against each other.
Yeah.
So, like, as an example, now you've had these – the Pac-12 took 7 Mountain West Conference teams. Pac-12 short, at least a school, if not 3. Mountain West, same thing. So then you start throwing out all different schools, and both conferences have have fans of these current schools that are like pointing down at another school. Do you not remember? Because it happens every day. If you're even if you're like a Boise, right, and they're very arrogant, do you not remember what it feels like right now that you're not in the Big 12 or you're not in the Big 10 or the SEC and the way those fans look at you, but now you're going to turn around and do it to the old Mountain West schools that you just left or a UTEP. And here, the funniest thing about this is we've had all this upper mobility over the years, right? And you have schools like, I'll give you a good example. UNLV plays Houston in week one of the college football season. They're 2 years into the Big 12. They still have a roster that is really equipped to handle the lower level in whatever the hell they were in the AAC, but now they're arrogant. Like UNLV's beneath them. Like, wait. Or, and Utah's made a lot of strides, right?
Sure.
But Utah used to be in the Mountain West, and now their fans are like, oh, yeah, UNLV! Like, you guys were rivals years ago. You were worth inviting. The money has helped a lot. I just think it's funny when a school and its fans graduate to the next conference. And all of a sudden, they're pointing down, like, oh, that school's not worthy. You weren't worthy at one point.
I think it's human nature. Like, you ever have a friend that used to drink, and then all of a sudden they don't drink anymore, and they're like, oh, you guys drink? You're a loser. I'm like, dude, I saw you throw up in your hat in front of my house. Like, what are you talking about? So, happens all the time.
Do you have thin friends who used to be fat who are showing off?
Oh, all time, dude. Or like, I don't smoke cigarettes, but it's like smokers that don't smoke anymore, and they look down on smokers now and stuff too. You know, listen to people.
Just stop,
it's like,
everybody.
Come on, man.
Stop looking down. Friday is a great time to go to Ellis Island. You can go down there on Friday nights for Red Zone Riches. They give away $1,500 or more in free play every single week on Fridays at 7 o'clock. You can earn those entries throughout the week by playing. If you're a fan of football and free play, you got to get down and attend Red Zone Riches. Another reason to go down is they're starting up what they call a Friday night tailgate at the front yard. David Perico, I think, is awesome. He's going to be with the Raider House Band, and he plays with everyone. I've seen him a couple times. He's great. He's going to be out the stage on Friday nights to start off the football weekend in the front yard. So get on down there. I'm telling you, he is a great musician. I know, believe it or not, I actually know musicians.
Yeah.
But who play with him, and he's very highly regarded. But Ellis Island's got a freaking coup going down on Friday nights. For more information, EllisIslandCasino.com.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Stadium Swim. We got Thursday Night Football going down, Cowboys and Giants. This is the place for the fights, the Circa Fight House at Stadium Swim. You got the 143-foot screen. Big UFC card just north of us in Salt Lake. It's going down two Saturdays from now. Alex Pajeda and Khalil Roundtree will be the main event in that one. That's a championship fight at 205. And Raquel Pennington and Juliana Pena will be fighting for the title in the women's bantamweight division. And then if you like the legends of the sport, like Griffin does, Jose Aldo's on the card, Stephen Thompson, OSP, former Tennessee football player, Carla Esparza, Pennington is on there, Court McGee, Tim Means. So all going down two Saturdays from now. That's October 5th, the Fight House here at Circa. Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
I know I get annoyingly philosophical on college sports because I do like college sports, and I hate to see the sullying of it. I don't mind NIL. But what I do mind, and I say it all the time, the coaches have a problem with discipline. The leaders above them have a big issue with caring about the students. I was just watching a video. The Memphis AD basically just came out and said on a short clip here, Pac-12 offer was not a good deal. And who was it not a good deal for? Mostly the students. Because if you join the Pac-12, then Memphis is now in a conference where the conference potentially stretches from Tampa to Pullman, Washington.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know? And while that's kind of fun for us watching on TV, it's kind of a screw job for the athletes. And what's turning out here is the Pac-12 is going to be a regional conference, and the Mountain West will be a regional conference, which, you know, play schools in your region that are sort of like-minded. Which, by the way, means Stanford ain't ever coming back to either one of those conferences because they ain't facing UNLV or freaking Boise. They were looking down on UCLA.
They're not
coming back.
It kind of reminds me of when the NFL used to be all screwy, where there was teams that were like on the West Coast that were on the East and the East and the
Atlanta
West.
Atlanta Braves and the NL West battling the Dodgers. Like, wait, what?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not like it's a new thing, but, yeah, definitely. I mean, especially for students, you don't want to have to travel from one point border to the other.
Students and their families.
That too,
like
you
sign up at the beginning of your college career, and you're like, oh, cool, we can go to a lot of the Memphis games, be in the region.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, yeah, you know what? A couple of the games are going to be in Pullman, Washington. Like,
yeah.
How do we get there?
Or even employees that aren't making a lot of money. You know? Happens to me.
Wacky times. Damn you, college athletics. And yet I love it. It gets me fired up every weekend. What is Army and Temple going at it tonight? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, well, come on down here. Thursday Night Football is on the big screen, 143-foot screen, 7-3, just into the second quarter. You can watch inside at Circa Sports. And tomorrow will be a big day as we decide our five picks for Circa Million. Thanks to Derek Stevens, Aaron Oster helps us out, Mike Palm, and the entire place here, Circa Las Vegas, for housing the show. Cabana 7, Mateo, excellent job with the setup. Great job tweaking things technically. Griffin's fixing things behind the. You don't know. He's got the tool belt out. He's like a robot with skin. It's so great. It's so great. Thanks, everybody. Have a great Thursday night. Enjoy the football game. We'll see you tomorrow at Treasure Island at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar.
Chicken salad.